Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is faster, smarter, and better email marketing automation. DotMailer is trusted by thousands of leading brands around the world. You can start your free trial today at dotmailer.com/futurecommerce and be sure to use the offer code FUTURECOMMERCE for 20% off applicable DotMailer packages.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
And today we are here to talk about some pretty cool stuff. Amazon.
Oh, please, God, no.
Oh, wait, it's Amazon. One.
I can't hardly take it no more. I don't know. What is that from? That's from a thing. Holy cow. Okay. Well, before we get into all that. Yes.
Before we get into all that, right?
Yeah.
We were featured in Retail Touchpoints recently.
Okay, hold on. But you gotta go further. You gotta go further back. You gotta tell the story. Tell the story of how we even found this.
Oh, how did we find this? Good question. So how did we find this?
we just thought we were really awesome and that we've been doing all the hard work that we mentioned it in the last show that like all of a sudden we had a big bump in listenership and we were like, where did all this come from? I think all the hard work is paying off, right?
Yeah.
And then come to find out. It did in a little way, actually. Come to find out, we were featured on a pretty prominent publication in our industry. So, yeah, but this was all Brian's find. Brian found this, but we were on Retail Touchpoints and Claudia Tirico. I don't know that we've ever met her.
Tirico? I don't think we've met her. No, this is new. But thanks for featuring us, Claudia. That was really nice of you, and I'm glad you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. And good to have you with us, new listeners. It's great.
Yeah. I will say that, we have either elevated ourselves to Jason and Scott and the official NRF podcast level, or we've brought them all down to our level, which is more likely the case, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyway, if you did find us through Retail Touchpoints blog, we'd love to hear about it and we'd love to hear what you think about the show. So before we get any further in, you can always lend your voice to the conversation. We'd love you to do so. Be part of this dialogue between us and you, our listeners. Go to futurecommerce.fm, scroll down to the discuss comment box and leave some comments. What do you think? About episode 60. And we're going to talk a lot about Amazon as we all want to do in this episode. Also, our review of Amazon Go is forthcoming. Next episode, 61, is going to be the one. So we're going to be, the two of us are going to be live on site in Seattle this very week. So in the very next episode, you should hear a little bit more about that. And we'll be really excited to bring that coverage to you.
And why are you going to be in Seattle, Philip?
Oh, so we're doing a live podcast event with another podcast property called Merchant to Merchant. And for some of our day job activities that we don't talk a whole lot about, but if you would like to listen to that, it should be up within the next week or two. We're doing a really cool panel with a bunch of seasonal merchants with a podcast that we call Merchant to Merchant. So it's stories and dialogue between merchants who share something in common. And on this particular panel, we have, who do we have, Brian? We have the folks from Filson.
Yes.
Right.
And Mervin Manufacturing.
Yeah.
Super excited.
And Mervin is a snowboard manufacturer, snowboard and skis, and they do lip tech and a bunch of other things. And if you haven't heard of Filson, which if I live in South Florida, so I've never heard of Filson until like 6 months ago when Brian's like, how have you not heard of Filson? Like historic outfitter with a really cool flagship store in Seattle
It's really cool. Yeah. It's one of the coolest retail experiences I've ever seen, because they actually do some of their manufacturing on site at their flagship.
Wow.
Down like at the lower level, there's manufacturing, and then you know, they've got space to meet, and they've got offices, and then they've got a retail floor that's really well staged. It's really beautifully done, and they refresh it on a regular basis. And they also have like this, it's like a station on the retail floor where they like refurbish old bags and materials.
Oh, I love that.
And new stuff. And they're doing it like all day long. It's you just,
that's like a very, that's like a Patagonia thing. I feel like Patagonia does stuff like that too, right?
Probably. Yeah. No, Patagonia is kind of in the same vein, but Filson's a lot more like rustic
and high. And I think higher end on some,
yeah,
well, at least on the price point.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. There was a sweater.
When they talk about like retail and like investment pieces, you're probably, this is right in that range. The flannel, yeah, you will own for the rest of your life, sort of a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that they definitely put their sort of stamp like...
This has become like an advertisement for Filson. Anyway, yeah, I'm really excited about that
podcast. Yeah, if you're in Seattle next week, maybe shoot Philip or shoot me a note. We'd love to have you out on Thursday night.
Yeah. You know what we've never done on the show is that if you want to get in touch with either of us directly... Hit us up, Philip with two L's at futurecommerce.fm or Brian with an I at futurecommerce.fm, and reach out to us directly. We'd love to hear from you there as well. And we will likely cross post that content. It's just too good to keep from our merchant audience. So we'd, at some point you will probably hear a cross pollination there of at least a segment or two from that panel. So it's going to be really good.
Yeah, actually, if you go back in our history, we've
done that for
Merchant once. Yeah, which was a really great episode. I love that episode that we cross promoted on our site. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, lots going on.
Okay, can we just get all the Amazon crap out of the way? Can we just do that? That'll help me. That'll help my mind.
So much to talk about.
Oh my word. Okay. So first story on Washington Post. Amazon, they turned a profit this quarter. Remember when Amazon didn't turn profits?
Turn a profit?
Remember that 22-year period when they said, we don't need profits? You remember that?
Yeah. No. I mean, I remember it like it was last year.
Yeah. It's well behind us now. Amazon is a for-profit venture. In 2018, this is where we are. How much profit did they turn?
1.9 bill.
Son of a.
Holy cow. And you know what? It's crazy. In the next couple of years, I expect this to become the norm for them. I mean, we'll see, but if they've got a lot of momentum right now. they've never had momentum, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You know what's incredible is that in the earnings call, they attributed a good portion of it to a lot of their profit and even gross sales. They attribute to the demand for the Echo device. Jeff Bezos says our 2017 projections for Alexa were very optimistic, and we far exceeded them. We don't see positive surprises of this magnitude very often. Expect us to double down. Holy crap.
Triple, quadruple, 8x down. Like, I feel like they've already doubled down.
Actually, so just to get the other part of this too, which I think is, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention AWS, Amazon Web Services, drove profits. They have been a very profitable part of the business in years past, kind of actually the only thing contributing to positive revenue growth. They said that's 26% of operating margin in the most recent quarter in Q4, compared to 3.5%. For the overall company. So massively profitable part of the business. And AWS sales rose 45% to $5.1 billion. What I love about this is that is basically the quote, the pull quote from Charlie O'Shea is growth, growth, and more growth. Wow, that's a show title. AWS will continue to be the engine for Amazon's profitability. Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Well, not surprising.
No. Not surprising. What? Okay. So the double down in Alexa, this isn't in our show notes, but it's something that will happen. On the 4th of February, there's a teaser going out right now. A lot of Amazon spots. I think it's coinciding with the Super Bowl.
Coinciding yeah. with the Super Bowl. You mean released during yeah. Super
during
Bowl
the Super Bowl. Something with Alexa during the Super Bowl. So we'll see what that is.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, like the teaser is like, oh, Alexa lost her voice. What's going yeah. on? What's happened?
Yeah.
Pretty fun stuff.
Yeah,
Bezos popped up in the teaser.
It's so fun. And there's a commercial with Rebel Wilson who has like a headset on and she's like being herself. It's really funny. What I'm kind of hoping for is it looks very much like they're like talking about replacing Alexa's voice in some way. Maybe it's user configurable, kind of the yes. Tom-esque sort of
oh
thing.
Oh my gosh.
Which would be kind of cool. Robert kind of kitschy. I just want
Robert
Jarvis.
Downey.
That's all I'm asking for is Jarvis. I want to turn Alexa into Jarvis from the Avengers and Iron Man.
Would it be really, really cool if you could have someone like yourself or whoever speak a certain set of like words and phrases into Alexa and then that became her voice?
Well, like, so this is incredible, right? So I don't know if you're as much of a geek as I am because this exists in the world.
I'm not.
Majel Barrett. Do you know who Majel Barrett is?
I do not.
So she is, she's the original voice of the computer on Star Trek. And she...
Which was, by the way, the inspiration for the Echo, according to Jeff Bezos.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? So, but she was married to Gene Roddenberry, and she was she actually played Lwaxana Troi on Next Generation Deep Space Nine. So she was like Counselor Troi's mom. She's had a role through the entire arc of both old Trek and new Trek, right? And but she, before she died... they phonetically captured every part of her voice. And they did it in such a way, I think they even contributed, it's part of some open source projects. They did it in such a way that they could embody her posthumously into an Alexa type device, which...
Oh my gosh.
I mean, how incredible would that be?
That would be insane. Oh, dude, think about it. Like, I wonder if there's enough of your voice that's out there publicly, like maybe like, you know, you and me, what if anyone could just take our voices, play them into their Alexa device or their Echo device, and then all of a sudden, like they have us speaking to them.
You know, I'm pretty sure if anybody could do it, it would be the very corrupt CIA and or FBI. No, I'm just kidding. fake news. Very corrupt. Okay, let's move on. Speaking of corrupt, Amazon's killing Whole Foods.
Before we get back to Amazon, we missed something. We were supposed to talk about something before we got into
this. What was it?
We were just on Carrie Masters' podcast.
Oh, I forgot about that. Speaking of Amazon, you could kind of tie it in, right? They talk a lot about Amazon.
Yeah, they do.
It's actually all they talk about is Amazon.
Pretty much, yeah. And we talked about Amazon a lot too on that show. Yeah,
sure.
So definitely it should be live here probably shortly after this episode goes live or maybe mm-hmm. right before it.
Right.
So make sure you head over to E-commerce Brain Trust and check that out. I don't know what episode number it will be, but really looking forward to that. I think it was really good content. And Carrie is awesome to talk with. Love talking with her. And I think it's worth listening to for sure.
You know what is really amazing is that she dealt with the two of us for about 45 minutes.
We did talk a lot and we talked over each other and we talked over her. It was, you know,
I didn't have the greatest internet connection.
For having us on.
You're absolutely fabulous. I'm so sorry. Okay. okay. So what's not absolutely fabulous is Amazon is absolutely killing Whole Foods.
That is fake news.
says the Amazon apologist. Are you ever going to be able to say anything bad about Amazon? I don't think
Maybe someday. I don't know. Probably not.
There are so many pictures on the internet of empty shelves.
Yes.
And hold on. So you got to give context. We've not talked about this yet for those who don't know.
Give the context.
Go ahead.
No, you're giving the context. Okay,
so here's the... So I'm actually going to just quote. So Business Insider has an article out about... I love the title here. The title is, quote, "Seeing someone cry at work is becoming normal," end quote. Employees say Whole Foods is using, quote, scorecards to punish them. Which, hold on, there's a really great hot take at the end of this. But basically... there was an inventory management system called OTS, or order to shelf, that had a strict set or has a strict set of procedures for purchasing, displaying, and storing products on store shelves and in back rooms. And Whole Foods rolled this out before and sort of during this Amazon takeover. And a lot of, you know, people are putting a lot of blame on Amazon for customer dissatisfaction, a lot of pictures of empty shelves that are, you know, all over Twitter right now of people that are sort of upset about widespread food shortages in their new inventory management controlled stores. But Brian, you have a different take.
Yeah, it's not even me really. Basically, so the reason why Whole Foods implemented OTS was because employees, suppliers, and industry analysts all said that Whole Foods' old system of managing inventory was highly inefficient and needed to be updated. So, you know, even before the Amazon merger, they realized that they were just their stock levels and the way they were doing inventory management was just not really cutting it. And so they implemented OTS to try and actually do something that was more efficient. The problem was when they implemented it, they didn't do it very well. and so, you know, in the same Business Insider's article, they quote Jim Holbrook, who's the CEO of retail consultancy Neiman Worldwide, that recently started working with Whole Foods, and he said, you know, Whole Foods had a very decentralized approach, which added complexity added cost. So essentially, they tried to implement this, you know, in line with other conventional supermarkets like Kroger and Safeway. And it hasn't really worked the way that they expected. It was just, it's been too lean. It's been too tough. And so everyone, you know, not everyone, but it says many employees are hopeful that Amazon will fix the new system. So actually, Amazon might be the savior in this situation where Whole Foods sort of bungled their way into an improperly managed inventory management system.
Yeah, Whole Foods has, like you mentioned it there, and it was a great quote because I think that kind of sums it up, which is that Whole Foods has operated in a very decentralized way where individual stores had a lot of purchasing and power control over what was featured in their stores. And that might have been part of the charm of Whole Foods at one point in time, but the Austin headquarters began to own more control of that, especially toward the, you know, the end of the Amazon merger event. And so one person's take, which I'll just go ahead and subscribe to because it's the witty, sarcastic, cynical take, and that's sort of my shtick. one person's take on Twitter was basically this is a bunch of millennial, you know, millennial whining and complaining that they now have to actually operate like a business instead of like, you know, a love-in. And that's essentially what this is. It's like it's going from loosey-goosey to, you know, to operating like a traditional grocery store, you know, shocker.
Yeah.
Anyway, growing pains.
They quoted one 12-year employee of a Whole Foods in the Midwest. They said, "We all just hope that Amazon will walk into some stores and see all the holes on the shelf." And in short, they don't feel like Amazon's had that chance yet.
Yeah. And some of the scorecard thing, it's interesting. I don't know in how many businesses could get to the place where Whole Foods was without having some sort of, you know, some sort of, you know, I don't know, metric of or KPI of, you know, employee or store performance of some, like, it just sounds like they're putting real just corporate accountability in place, and it's freaking a lot of people out, which is understandable. Anyway, I like the narrative that Whole Foods' entire corporate culture is being killed by Amazon. And the seeing people cry thing, I think, also kind of resonates, because I've heard that about Amazon in the past. We'll find out. Anyway.
Speaking of Amazon again.
Oh my gosh.
Did you see that Alexa added voice-activated SMS texting
as a feature? It's interesting, because I feel like that this has been around. This doesn't Maybe feel like a new thing. Maybe it has been around.
I feel like it's been around too, but... I think this is relatively new,
definitely the blog, but I saw right.
February 1st, which it makes sense. You know, it's interesting. I think that more texting gets done via voice than a lot of people realize, because I see people from all different age categories now doing it. Everyone from baby boomers to zennials, to Gen Z. So I think this is a no brainer. It's like a very obvious step, and it's a way that voice is being used in a very, you know, like widespread way.
Well, this was an article out on Retail Touchpoints, which is our new favorite blog. One little thing jumped off the page to me, and it's completely hidden in here, but it's that Brooks Brothers, the North American clothing retailer, they are an early adopter of Alexa for Business, which was that product that was unveiled back in, I think, November at AWS reInvent. And what's cool about that is that they're not using it in a customer-facing capacity. So they're really using Alexa for Business in the way that it was, you know, sort of imagined that it would be, and that's for business enablement on the back end.
Which is definitely something that, you know, it seems like a really obvious application, and I'm really glad that it's being used. And I expect to see it used quite a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, really, really interesting. Yeah,
let's talk about the elephant in the room, Amazon.
Who are they? Not heard of them.
So Amazon's also announced a partnership with Warren Buffett and JPMorgan Chase to improve healthcare in some mysterious way.
I think that this almost sells better if you're like, hey, Brian, you have to play with me here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what, Philip? What's that?
How could we lower our healthcare costs?
Oh, maybe Amazon should get involved.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, what if we just made our own healthcare company? And that's the conversation that's the conversation that they just had. That's it. Like, only Amazon and only Berkshire Hathaway and only, you know, JP Morgan could decide. I don't know. This is, if you rearrange the letters in Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan, it's an anagram for Weyland Yutani Corporation. And that's, that is the world that we are heading towards right now.
You know what? I, for one, am super excited about this for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Yes. Actually excited about it. Because I've been talking about technology being applied to healthcare ever since I realized that, you know, how body data was going to play into it. You know, we had that whole thing about how, you know, I see the future of healthcare being sort of a push system, not a pull system, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really hope that's what comes out of this, where we have personal health monitoring tools that are going to help, you know, us be able, instead of us being like, oh, you know, I don't feel great or whatever, I better go to the doctor. And then we don't go to the doctor or whatever. I'm looking forward to a world where it's like, oh, hey, we saw an anomaly. Yeah, why don't you hop on a virtual health session with us for 10 minutes and let's just talk about what it is that you might be going on. Let's do a couple of additional deeper scans we're going to have you do. That to me seems way more efficient and a way better use of medical resources. I think that this is the future of healthcare.
And it's not just within their own company, even though I sort of made it sound that way. Jeff Bezos, in the statement that was released, when they announced that they're launching a healthcare company, says, hard as it might be, reducing healthcare's burden on the economy while improving outcomes for employees and their families will be worth the effort. Success is going to require talented experts, a beginner's mind, and long-term orientation. And that's...
Here's a crazy idea. What if they come up with a privatized, you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the single payer system.
Privatized but universal healthcare.
I mean, that's we're basically all already working for Amazon in some capacity. So again, really. I rest my case. All right, we're there. Okay, so fine. I think we're through the Amazon block. Can we just be done with that? I feel like.
All right. Let's talk about some other stuff now. Okay. Let's talk about Chris Rock banning phones at shows.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I love this story so much. I love this story. Did you watch the Grammys at all?
No, man. And apparently a whole bunch of other people didn't either.
Oh my gosh, that's not a joke. I actually really enjoyed the Grammys this year.
This year? Okay.
Yeah, nice. You would have, I think, enjoyed Childish Gambino's performance, which I thought was...
I would have, but I would have been really mad that he didn't win more because I'm a big fan.
Yeah. You weren't the only one. Angry Twitter was angry.
Yeah, that's because Donald Glover is the bomb.
They did this really great gag where is it James Corden? Who was the host?
I'm a big fan of James Corden. Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, James Corden was the host. I just watched it and I can't even remember. It was that memorable. James Corden did this gag where he's like... you know, imagine that you're at a concert and he's like, no, this isn't quite right. He's like, hold on. And then like 300 people from off the camera all put their phones in front of the camera and like, you know, recording James Corden. And he's like, no, that's better. That's better. That's more like the actual concert experience. I thought that was really, really funny. And
that's good.
And if you've been to a concert or any sort of public event, you know, my kid's kindergarten, you know, Christmas performance comes to mind.
It's a concert.
then you have experienced people holding their phones up and kind of being really obnoxious, recording something that they'll never ever watch again. and so Chris Rock has for some upcoming shows, they're employing. He's basically put it into his rider, and they're enforcing the use of a device called Yonder. It's a pouch that you can carry with you, but it requires that your phone be housed inside of it. And Donald Glover was one of those people that is also buying into this. Looks like Dave Chappelle's part of it as well. It's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah. No, I think
creating cell phone free spaces.
Yes. Let's get off. Offline. Let's create some moments where we can actually just enjoy life instead of being barraged by the entire world on our phone.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Dotmailer. Dotmailer is used by thousands of marketers around the world. It has quick and easy campaign creation with a world-class intuitive interface. The .mailer team is always on hand, from email creation, creative, and delivery to dedicated consultancy, helping you build your own success story. .mailer is built to play well with others. You can build your own marketing cloud by extending .mailer or integrating it with your existing e-commerce and business platforms. Become a smarter, faster, better marketer and create sophisticated and measurable campaigns with .mailer. Go to .mailer.com/futurecommerce to start your free trial today, and be sure to use the offer code futurecommerce for 20% off .mailer packages. Thanks again to .mailer for supporting Future Commerce.
The people on Twitter are actually kind of celebrating this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and they should be. Like, I think if you're active on Twitter and social networks and, you know, you're a contributor, you kind of have to be on all the time, or you feel like that pressure to constantly, you know, constantly be out there in the conversation, relevant, you know, timely, all of the above. That's not me, by the way, on social media.
No, you are the opposite of that. You don't do anything. Like, you have no urgency around social media.
No, I don't. You know, I think that I understand that there's, you know, there is importance to urgency on social media. And there's, you know, certain people that should be a part of their job. But I think that people are too connected. I like this move.
I like it too. And I love the fact that there's so many applications. So if you go to Over Yonder, and that's Yonder without an E, .com, concerts or comedy shows, those are both, you know, just two of the potential, you know, venues in which this could be used. But think about it in schools and in courthouses, right? And all of a sudden you're kind of thinking, like, this might be a really, really smart, like, I don't know how this hasn't already happened in the past 10 years.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That shows you how addicted we are. Like, it
it does, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is almost 5 years too late. And I know myself, I would definitely have some FOMO being, you know, somewhere for three, four hours without access to my phone. I think I might freak out a little bit. That's kind of a good thing. I need that, I think. So
I think a lot of people need that. I think this is, I really hope to see this, you know, this trend pick up steam, not just at concerts, but like, find other places where it's like, you know what, let's not connect for a minute. Let's actually have real, you know, I'm not saying, I shouldn't say that. I do think the internet interactions are real. Absolutely. Like, connected interactions, social interactions online are real interactions. But let's focus our 100% of our attention on what's in front of us instead of capturing it or trying to, you know, see other things that are happening. Let's put our full focus on what's happening right now.
I think I've said this at some point on the show. I can't remember, but it's something I've riffed on in real life, and I think you've heard me say it. But I feel like they're... Like, not to diss anybody who's ever done it, because Lord knows I've taken stupid cell phone videos, and that's how I've learned not to take stupid cell phone videos. But I feel like there will be sort of a Black Mirror-esque, you know, segmenting of society of people who, you know, are sort of establishing themselves as sort of the high end or the upper end of, it's like an IQ. Like, you have, we have the intelligence quotient, we have the emotional quotient now, right? Well, what if there's like a social quotient
I think we chatted about that one article I saw recently about, what was it called?
AQ. It was AQ.
Yeah.
That's right. Was it artificial intelligence? Like, what was
no,
that?
No. It was basically the ability to adapt.
Okay.
Adapt. Which I thought was really cool.
I think that's a really cool idea. It's a really cool idea. I was kind of leaning towards just the joke of, you can't be part of our social circle. You know, we have to check your phone if you've. What's so funny is that the people on of our social circle.
If you've ever eaten in a restaurant with spinach artichoke dip, you're out.
That's the best inside joke that we've ever had. Okay.
That was the best.
If you have ever posted your body data from a secret military base in Taiwan, you are no longer part of our social network.
Wait, let's go back one more second before we get to that.
You do this all the time. Just take the segue. It was such a good segue.
Great segue. But I wanted to mention Google Clips camera because I think
that just came out.
The reason why I think this plays into what we were just talking about is because I think one of the problems we have right now, and Healy Cypher sort of alluded to this in our episode with him. It's like our third episode, our third
Healy Cypher of Oak Labs.
Yeah. He talked about how we need to get our heads up out of our phones and have digital experiences that appear out as a part of our world, right? So I think I'll take that even a step further and say, like, well, what if we can use AI and other tools to help, you know, achieve the same level of capture of like sort of like a moment capture and data capture, like this Google Clips camera, where we don't have to be involved. You know, we can just focus and then we can go back and review. I'm really hoping to see this in business with meetings, like note-taking, like maybe not necessary soon.
Have you watched Black Mirror? Because I feel like you would not be saying this if you had watched Black Mirror.
I have not watched that.
Yeah.
The episode you're referring to yet.
Yes. Yeah. But you know the premise, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that has its own dangers, but I see.
Of course, it has dangers. Everything we're doing right now has dangers. And almost everything we've talked about on this show has dangers. Just ask Brian Romilly. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
If anything we talked about, we can take it to its conclusion that basically is a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the question is, are we going to be responsible with what we have? And call out people who do abuse it, and punish them for that abuse.
That's kind of where I feel like where we might be heading. And I do feel like we as humans, somehow always tend to try to find equilibrium. Sometimes the pendulum swings a little too far out, but it's trying to achieve an equilibrium. And so I think we've been so far in the realm of allowing technology to occupy everything we do. And that's sort of where we are right now. We might be at an apex of some kind. I do believe that there will be a swing back. And I think Yonder is a really good example of the kind of people that are wanting to establish an experience or a space that is technology free, is one way of doing it. I do think that at some point we're probably more likely to see this mandated in sort of a geofenced way, in much the same way that we're seeing drones that are being controlled. I mean, I was thinking about over the weekend, or a few weekends ago, my brother-in-law was in town. He has a DJI Mavic. But I live in Palm Beach. So, you know, the president happened to be in town. And when Air Force One is coming in, every drone in this county, in this whole area, is grounded. You cannot even take off. It's just grounded. As soon as he leaves town, the GPS restriction is lifted and everybody can take off their drones again. But I think that's where we're going to wind up. Is in creating privacy and cell phone free zones so that we can still live and have technologies like the Google Clips of the world, but they'll respect the boundaries of areas that are technology free. And that's probably how we're going to swing back the other way, because houses of worship, courthouses, some types of public spheres, public spaces, libraries, that sort of thing. They may actually want to create spaces that allow you to engage in the environment and what's going on around you rather than, you know, experiencing it through a 3-inch screen.
Yeah.
And that should be their prerogative, right?
In short, I need to go watch that Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Go watch.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. Actually, I think you're hitting on some things that's sparking more ideas in my mind that I'm not going to take, you know, I'm not going to talk about now, but maybe it will show up in future Commerce Insiders. So subscribe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're going to have to do that for sure. For sure. For sure. For sure. Okay. So I had this really great segue. We blew it. So let's come back. Let's come back to it a little bit. Over on the Daily Beast, and like literally everywhere else, this past week, there's a story that was broken about what they're calling a security flaw. It's not a security flaw. About the fitness tracker app, Strava. Strava puts out an annual heat map of Strava users' runs or activity, where you can search a global map or search your local area and see a heat map of where people are most active. And this year, it turns out that a lot of people got really interested in some of those heat maps showing up out in the middle of nowhere with nothing else around. And it turns out that a bunch of U.S. military bases, in particular in like Niger, and where else? Syria, Yemen, Turkey, like a lot of interesting sort of places were being revealed where, you know, I guess military personnel were logging their miles and their runs or their walks or some sort of activity, but accidentally revealing secret military bases as well.
Talk about a technology free zone. That's that. There you go. There that's you where go. They should, they, oh, there, they should hey, have been.
Good job. I What's like that? It. There's the segue. I like that
there's segue. Segue.
That was really good. You know, here's I don't know. I want to know what you think about this. I don't know that this is so much a security problem. They're calling this a security flaw, and whether or not, you know, Strava should have revealed this information. I think of it as this is a human flaw, right? Shouldn't people that are on private military installations know better than
this is a really good discussion because this discussion is going to come up a lot more. the no better clause is going to be a phrase that we hear a lot more in the next few years.
right.
Like, how much is personal responsibility for you know, exposing things, and how much is sort of the company's responsibility to make sure that things don't get exposed? It's going to be a big debate, and there's going to be a lot of lawsuits about it. I don't have answers for this right now. I think it's going to be really difficult to discern when something is somebody's personal fault or when it's like, hey, you know, you should, you know, this company should have had more, you know, stronger warnings or like opt-in type things to prevent this from happening.
For sure. And to be fair, it is anonymized in that it's, you know, people's, you know, one-to-one. You don't know necessarily at the global level who is participating in the activity. You're just seeing activity take place.
Right. Yeah. In fact, like that data on its own, just like one person, wouldn't really mean that much because no one would know who they are. But it's the aggregate data says has a much bigger story to tell.
For sure.
And
for
so sure. That's something that'd be really hard to discern. Like, oh, you know, I'm blocking my personal data. I didn't even realize that everyone else on the base had this fitness tracker. I had no idea I was contributing to.
I don't know about that. I can see a use case where you have people that are sort of competing with each other, watching each other's sort of, you know, workouts that are all, you know, taking place in a group together. You are together and you should be able to have that visibility. It's I don't think they correlate that understanding that because they can see each other's data, that this could be quote unquote anonymized and then used as a public.
Right.
To be published to the public, right?
Right, totally.
And so I do think that there's, you know, some responsibility needs to fall to some personal responsibility and education about how data privacy really should work. And then secondly, some responsibility should fall to, you know, Strava and other apps or other companies that are consuming body data and this is the story that I think we're going to miss, is that yes. location and presence are fundamentally part of our body data, and we should have greater control over how it's used and where it's published. Full That's stop.
Back to episode 55, predictions. That's exactly yeah. right.
It's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. And there are some regulations and laws that are coming into focus that could potentially help enforce some of this. So a really, you know, one that's top of mind for us, at least in the e-commerce world and retail that do global e-commerce and retail, is the EU's GDPR
compliance. Huge.
This is general yes. data protection and regulation. If you're in retail and you're doing e-commerce overseas outside of the United States and you do business in the EU, you likely are already, you know, following, you know, having to look at these guidelines. Well, there's a lot of,
I hope you are. Because yeah. if you're not, there's going to be a violation. And I think it was Forrester that I was listening to that said that they expect to see some people actually get in trouble for this. Or maybe it was someone else's predictions.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. And actually, there's an article out on ZDNet, which, A, I haven't heard from them in ages. But there's an article on ZDNet that actually quotes that Forrester, that 22% of businesses are basically, they're not compliant, or they're not like even anywhere near compliance in the next 12 months. But effectively, like they actually put out a list of those that are you know, that are least ready to be compliant. So you should actually check that out. I think we'll link it up in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not familiar with any of these companies because I don't live in Europe. But I think that GDPR, you know, one of the big decisions in GDPR was that you have the not only the right to anonymity, but the right to be able to delete your own existence off the internet.
Yep.
And so you can control, you should be able to control the ability to terminate your account and see what, you know, what kind of data any company has on you.
Exactly. No, this is exactly what I was talking about in the predictions episode. This is what I see happening next. Or encouraged retailers to do. We don't have this going on in the US quite as much yet, but merchants, make your data that you have on your customers public to them and allow them to leverage that data to do more things. Because I can tell you right now, if they see utility in giving you that data, they will allow you to continue to use it. And so that's how I see companies maintaining data from now on, building partnerships and giving, you know, giving customers the ability to do more when they provide that data. I think that's a big, maybe I think 2018 sort of the start of this trend. And you know, it's the beginning. But you know, over the next 3 years, I expect to see this to become a much bigger part of our conversation.
Well, what's interesting, I worked for a merchant 7 years ago, 6-7 years ago now. And, you know, we were running an e-commerce platform, which shall not be named. But we were running an e-commerce platform. And I remember remarking, you know, nearly a decade ago that we would field customer requests all the time to delete their account. And there's yeah. no way to delete your account. Like, it's still to this day in that same platform, almost a decade later, there's still no functionality for you to go delete your account. So they have no control over.
Wait, why aren't you naming it?
I mean, I don't okay. know. I like them. They're nice people. But I don't think that, you know, they do a lot of business in Europe. I don't think that there is a, I can't think of a single e-commerce platform that I've worked with. And I mean, there's likely to be some European centric ones that would obey this. Spryker might come to mind. But I can't think of any that at least, you know, have even anything close to that. So I think everybody is going to have to come up a level.
Yeah.
PR.
Yes.
And that means that third party integrations, those that all that enable all the kinds of personalization that you're doing, like it might actually be really eye opening to you to see where the areas of non-compliance might be. And you know, that might be, you might not even realize how many tentacles of data collection are happening on your site through third parties right now until you're on the hook to try to open that up and give visibility of all of that data to your customer.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, anyway, Strava, it's a really interesting story. Yeah, that's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh man, we've got more, lots more.
We've got so much more.
How far are we going to run with this, man?
Let's just take this next one. And okay. Actually, you know what? No. Hold on. I think we could hold this one over. Let's do this open source voice assistant. I really like this story.
That's interesting.
Because it's not so dark. Kickstarter. There's actually a really interesting Kickstarter that just launched. And it's like sort of took me by surprise. There is a company who is Mycroft, who has already created a production open source voice assistant, which is the open source answer to the Amazon Echo and Google Home. They already have an existing...
And Siri and Cortana and all those.
And all the other ones. But this is a physical device that is open source to the point where you could actually, you know, source the parts, build it yourself if you needed. It would be open source so that any third-party company, let's say Anker, right, or some other company, they could make their own version of this particular voice assistant. What's really interesting about this is the Mark II. So Mark I already exists, and it is a commercial product. And so their Kickstarter is to support the Mark II device coming into...
They already hit their goal.
They did hit the goal.
And that's...
But an open device, an open smart speaker.
That kind of scares me. I'm not going to lie. Simply because... Like the support around this is going to have to be unbelievable. Like the security and everything, like in order for me to bring an open source voice device that's listening to me into my home, I'm going to need to feel real good about it.
I mean, in general terms, most open source things that you interact with every day, let's say, you know, most every web server, Most every piece of software that runs on the web server has some element of open source in it, right?
Yes.
Every secure transaction that takes place on the internet likely uses OpenSSL.
Open source. Totally agree with that. But those are really well supported, well known entities that have the whole internet is concerned about them, right? This is something that's one off that the whole internet's not concerned about.
They have a lot of really interesting partners. So they've actually published, this isn't their first device. They actually have a couple, this is their like second go around. But they actually have a team of 17, and the Mark One device is in 56 countries and 38 US states at the moment. Not a terribly large footprint. But the Ubuntu Foundation is behind this and supporting it.
That's cool.
You also have the Mozilla Foundation is behind it and supporting it. So you have larger open source organizations that are behind it to some degree. So I find that really fascinating. And I think that's what makes or breaks any open source initiative is having large corporate and large open foundations and organizations behind it that help support it.
Yeah, communities of developers, really.
For sure. And it's not just about developers. There's a monetary hardware component.
Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah, and also like there's got to be a monetary driver too, which it looks like this is. You know, it does have that. So yeah, I'm excited to keep my eye on this. Absolutely.
I think we should have variants like this that exist in the world. It provides an element of competition. I mean, not really competition, but it's an open source alternative. And it actually leads me to a thought about a series of like a keynote that I'm trying to develop right now about the open source business.
And I love this keynote you're working on. Yeah, and I love this.
Yeah. The idea is you could find open source products to fulfill every area in need of your business, from your point of sale to your warehouse management platform to order management. I mean, open source e-commerce platforms have been around since the web started, right? And so we have open source platforms at work and could be at every element of our business. What I think is that if you were to do that, is the trick is deciding where those pieces make sense for you and your business that help you be, like help you in what makes you differentiated or help you achieve certain goals. But it certainly would be a bad idea for every part of your entire business to have open source products that you have to maintain and control and manage and develop. But the idea is because there are open source products available for every part of your business, the thought experiment is what would happen if you used all of them. And so we take it out to its like logical conclusion. It's likely a really bad idea. The world falls apart. Everything implodes. But just having a voice assistant, like that's open source. Gosh, like just blows my mind. It's like one more piece of that puzzle. And something I'm really excited to talk about.
Awesome. Well, that's a good way to end it.
We ended on an up note for once.
We did. No, we've done that more than one time. We always try to come back around. We don't always make it back around, but we do try to come back around.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to Future Commerce. Oh, I cut you off. You were doing the intro.
I was, but you can do it. It's all you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Future Commerce. We want you to subscribe and get involved in our community. We want to make you one of our retail futurists that belong to this community of other retail futurists. And you can do that by visiting futurecommerce.fm. Sign up for FC Insiders. It's your weekly dose of all things retail. That's news, exclusives, rumors, some gossip. You're going to get behind the scenes, full unedited interviews, all kinds of really cool, interesting stuff. And we've got a bunch of really interesting long form content that we're about to publish and put out. So don't miss it.
Go to futurecommerce.fm
and sign up for FC Insiders. And make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or any smart speaker device. And you can get Future Commerce pretty much anywhere in these days. So make sure you do that.
Well, another great episode on the books. That was actually episode 60 for us.
Crying out loud.
That's a lot.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so go back, listen to the rest of all 60 episodes, because with Future Commerce, retail tech is moving fast.
And we're moving much faster. Thanks for listening. Good night.